Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We've got some time for some phone calls now, and we've had kind of a succession of guests that have made phone calls a little bit difficult. We've talked to Trey Flowers, James White, and Rob Ninkovich actually showed up early today.
He's ready to go.
Hung around for a little while.
Fired up.
Got no sleep. Had a five-hour energy or
saw
a Red
the Bears
Bull
game.
Some caffeine.
From the eighth row. It's pretty nice.
He yelled down to Chris Long at one point.
All good.
Got his attention. There was a great photo I've seen on Twitter today of the two Long brothers post-game.
Yeah.
Kind of embracing and Chris telling Kyle, hey, you're a great football player. I love you. And that's got to be difficult. I mean, if you're Chris Long, you're all excited. I mean, you're moving on. You've just upset the Bears. But, you know, you kind of like the guy that you're.
Sure. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, and for. I think they said during the broadcast that Chris told his parents, well, you can go ahead and root for Kyle. I've already won two. So you can root for him if you want. But yeah, so Chris Long's trying to make it three straight Super Bowls. He's only a couple more games away. Although I think they get crushed by the Saints, but we'll see.
We've talked about the matchups this weekend, and the Patriots obviously have the Los Angeles Chargers with just incredibly difficult odds stacked against them, just logistically. They fly from L.A. to Baltimore. They play a tough physical football game against the Ravens. They win. Good for them. They did a great job. They go to 8-1 on the road so far this season. But then they fly back to Los Angeles. They will fly back here. Now, they'll lose a day. You know, the Patriots get an advantage today, prep time, because obviously the Chargers aren't doing anything today. And
right. Was your impression, after watching that game, were you more impressed by the Chargers than you thought you'd be? Less impressed? As impressed?
Less.
A little bit less?
A little bit less. Just the offense looks weird to me at times.
Yeah, and again, part of that, I agree, the offense didn't look great, but it was also going up against the best defense.
And
right?
Like,
that's a
absolutely
big part of
you
it.
You have to take that into consideration. They will not be going up against a defense as tough as that this weekend.
No, they
Patriots fans.
they definitely won't be, but I look at it, like, I like a lot of their players. Like, I think they have, I've always liked Phillip Rivers. I think he's solid. He's certainly a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. He's probably right now a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson. So you're looking at the three guys they could have faced. They are getting the best quarterback. Defensively, I mean, their defensive ends are as good as there is. We've seen them in the past, though, kind of mixed bag, right? We've seen the Patriots keep J.J. Watt at bay, but we've also seen the Patriots go up against Von Miller and get dominated.
Speaking of which, and I'm glad you mentioned this,
yeah,
J.J. Watt's playoff performances have been a mixed bag, haven't they?
Yeah, probably more bad. Than good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's funny. Their star players, you know, and DeAndre Hopkins is another guy where, especially against the Patriots, they've done a nice job against both those guys, and neither one had really much going on. Nobody did. I mean, the Colts dominated. The Colts were the most impressive team, I think, from the weekend. Like, if you look at all four winners, Colts impressed me the most. And so they're rolling right now.
The four teams that were on a bye last week have a huge advantage this weekend. I mean, it is gigantic.
The closest spread is actually the Patriots game.
Yeah, and I'm okay
Makes
with that.
Makes sense because the Chargers are the best team. I just think the Colts were more impressive in what they did.
And yet probably the upset that would surprise us the least would be the Colts going into Kansas City.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one I'm going to pick.
Can you imagine if you're hosting another AFC championship game? If you do what you're supposed to do.
And against the Colts.
If the Colts go and pull off the upset.
Right.
And you're hosting the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC championship game. Then you generate the old Colts hatred.
And then the Colts can put up another AFC finalist banner. Put up a second one. Because I think
Jim
Irsay's
probably
here.
Sewing it by hand
He's
right now.
He's probably very excited. I'd like to hear him post-game in Kansas City. What he could come up with. That'd be a lot of fun. But no, the Patriots. I just look at the Chargers and you say, Lamar Jackson, they did a great job on him. He was terrible. He had -2 passing yards for the longest time. Had a quarterback rating of 0. And yet the game ended, Baltimore had the ball down 6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they couldn't put him away.
And then he gets the ball stripped.
Yeah, classic. Well, he fumbled 3 times in the game.
He's fumbled like 14, 15 times this year.
Yeah,
he must have smaller hands than me, for crying out loud.
He's not putting it away. Well, because he's always trying to, he's not sure if he's going to throw it or not. But he just runs backwards like crazy.
See, I do not think that any team is going to be successful with a quarterback like that long term.
Jeez, it's hard to make a case that they can be.
I mean, at some point or another, don't you have to be able to throw the football?
You need to be able to pass better than you run. Doesn't mean you can't be a good running quarterback. Doesn't mean you can't scoot a little bit with it. But you got to be able to throw it better, I would think.
It's funny. You
especially
should,
now.
The way you put it was the exact way I was thinking about it. The Patriots, over the Tom Brady era, have been, you know, especially the last 10, 15 years, have been, you know, 75-25 pass over run. Isn't it closer to 50-50 than you can ever remember here?
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. It's like 0-4. Like, this it seems like a team that wants to run. And going into the playoffs, wouldn't you have said, well, if running game is your best thing, you're not going to win at all.
Yes.
But then you watched all these teams this weekend. Ezekiel Elliott running like crazy. They won the game really because of the running game. You know, Marlon Mack with the Colts, like he was running like crazy. They had said Houston hadn't given up a 100-yard rusher all year. And then Marlon Mack just dominated him on the ground. It seemed like, now we'll see what happens because more of the passing offenses, like Patrick Mahomes didn't play, Drew Brees didn't play.
Well, you're going to see three of the top offenses in the NFL this week.
So I'm hoping things will turn around a little bit just to be a little bit more exciting play. And how about some, you know, throw the ball downfield and things like that. But the running game and defense, they really won out during wildcard weekend. Some ugly, low-scoring games that were really dominated based on the run game, of all things.
From a TV ratings perspective, according to the numbers, the overnight numbers that have come out, the wild card games as a whole were up about 10% over last year.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it was really kind of gruesome football.
Kind of crap games. A lot of, hey, third down, let's run it in that Seattle game. Like, my God, with the running plays was just nonstop. And then even last night, ugly game. You know, was it 16-15? Was that the final? Like, it was an ugly game. But it's also Philly, Chicago. So, I mean, you have the defending Super Bowl champs. You got a big market like Chicago. It's still the football. Like, I don't know. I mean, if you're a football fan, you're watching all these games no matter what. Even when they're ugly, I didn't turn them off. I watched, I think, every snap of all four games.
And this weekend, I would think the numbers will be huge.
They'll be even
Patriots
better.
Patriots always do.
They'll be even better.
Huge number. Now, they're in the early window on Sunday, but they'll put up a huge number.
Well, and think about the teams playing, too. You have Dallas. You have the Rams, you have the defending champs in Philly, you have Drew Brees and the Saints, then you have the Colts, that's a nice story, but the MVP and Patrick Mahomes, and then Patriots always rate well. So this is a thrill, and I still think the league would probably be over the moon if it was the top two seeds at each, if it was Pats, Chiefs, Rams, Saints. That could be a points bonanza. It's a superstar quarterback on all teams. You got superstar running backs in there. Some of the biggest names in football would be playing in conference championship weekend.
I don't love the Patriots if they have to go to Kansas City.
No, I would pick the Chiefs. I don't think the Patriots are winning any more road games. So if they have home games,
the Super Bowl's not a road game. It's a neutral site. So
right. Although at that point, I would pick the NFC. I think at that point, but we'll see what happens. I mean. The Chargers are definitely a tough team, and I started the show out by saying this, and I think I stand by it. I think it's as tough of a divisional round opponent as they have ever had in the playoffs. They've had some really tough opponents in the AFC Championship game in years past, but this round in particular, it does seem like they often get a Houston team without a quarterback, or a Tennessee team that has no chance, or somebody like that, whereas the Chargers at least feel like, I mean, they were 12-4 for a reason. You know, they split with the Chiefs this year. They have some good wins under their belt. That's a really good team, and they can't lose on the road, of all things. So that's a tough.
Well,
unless they
play in L.A. on the road,
they've never lost outside of L.A. this year. What a weird stat!
And the Patriots haven't lost a game here.
Right. So something's gotta give.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
Keith.
I'm gonna say that all week. Oh, by the way, we should mention this. If you say or if I say San Diego. It's not worth correcting.
I've been working hard on it today to not do it.
And that's great. And if a caller says San Diego, not going to correct that either. We all know who the hell you're talking about. Don't worry. We all know it's Los Angeles. But if you say San Diego, that's fine.
No, I can't do it.
You don't like it?
No, I'm kidding. I say it every day.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Like, we have bigger fish to fry.
Don't you feel bad for those San Diego fans, especially at this point now?
A little bit. It's like it's your exact same team. It's the same uniform. It's the same players, and they're awesome now.
And everyone, even nationally, like I'll grab clips from like first
everybody
this morning,
says
and they're
San
like,
Diego.
"Oh, like Stephen A's like the San Diego Chargers." Like, oh man.
Well, Stephen A also was talking about Hunter Henry, and
yeah, he actually thinks it's San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, so. he's just convinced that it is.
Speaking about Hunter Henry, you know he's coming off the IR today, I believe.
Well, supposedly he was cleared to play for the game this weekend, and he didn't.
Didn't happen.
But he's probably going to be back for next weekend.
Right. They got a nice team, though. They really do. And then Anthony Lynn, I don't know, there's not enough of a track record, really, on Anthony Lynn. Like, Belichick always has the coaching advantage, but that one I'm not entirely sure how significant it is. Like, don't you feel like everybody has a better sense on, like, what Bill O'Brien is, what, who else could it have? John Harbaugh. Like, you know what all these coaches are. You've had more of a history with them. Anthony Lynn, I'm not really sure.
What do you think the ownership in Houston thinks of Bill O'Brien right now? Do you think they're disappointed? I would be.
Yes. Yeah, I think they're definitely disappointed. He's been there 5 years. He's made the playoffs 3 times. They're 1-3. And the one playoff win, it counts. It definitely counts. But it was against a backup or even a third-string quarterback due to injuries, Connor Cook and the Raiders a few years ago. So, to be fair, they have not had a good quarterback until Deshaun Watson. Like, his whole time there, he's had bums. He's had, you know, Hoyer. He's had Brock Osweiler. He had T.J. Yates. So he's had some bums. But you have one of the best wide receivers in the league. You have one of the best defensive players in the league.
Who never seems to perform well at playoff time.
And you've been at home for some of these playoff games. Now, you got to be pretty disappointed. And, like, what makes you think it's going to be different next year? And, by the way, the Colts look pretty good, like, in your division. I think Mike Vrabel and the Titans, they seem to be going on the way up. Yeah, I would not be thrilled with Bill O'Brien. Not at all.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. There were two big events over the weekend. One was really bad. That was Saturday night. Ew. We'll talk about that when we come back. And then one was a double doink field goal attempt.
Double doink!
That keeps the Chicago Bears sitting at home this weekend.
It's too bad.
We've got the call, though, that you probably haven't heard yet.
Oh, is that right?
That's coming up in just a couple of minutes as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
The Patriots' march to Atlanta starts right here as they get ready to do battle with the Chargers. React and talk about it right now. Now back to Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio, WEEI.
Yeah, I think Hearns is, Hearns is one of the best teammates I've ever had, and I think anybody on this team would say this. So when you see a guy like that go down, it hurts. And just seeing how nasty that was, it hurts a lot. But you keep him in your mind, you keep him in your mind the whole game pretty much, and just knowing that Hearns would be out there giving his all if he was in there. Hearns is one of our probably, I guess you can say, most underrated players just from the fact that he can play every position on the field, wide out. I mean, he even can play the tight end and knows what he's doing. So I was just very, very unfortunate, but prayers are with him. I know that he's doing pretty well right now.
Talking about Allen Hurns, who he got injured at about 7:45 Saturday night in the Dallas Cowboys game.
Not just injured.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that was disgusting.
By 9:45, he was in surgery. And the early reports are that they expect him to be ready to go again in August, which, again, if you go back to what you saw
at
7:45 Saturday night.
That was so gross, and it was just one of those snaps, and they showed it once on the broadcast, and I didn't see it in real time, and I wasn't really paying attention.
Let me just give you the play-by-play. So this is when they knew he was down. This is how Joe Buck went to commercial.
Prescott, Hurns for the first down. Allen Hurns made the grab, and now Hurns is hurt. Hurns, who has been seldom used since the arrival of Amari Cooper, in some pain. He got a first down, but at what price? Oh, aye, good Lord.
Because that was one, so he makes the play, but then he's down on the field. You know he's down, so then they do the quick replay as Buck's throwing it to break. And so they even did slow-mo on that. And I don't think Buck, like me, didn't see it in real time. You knew he was down, but he thought maybe he twisted his ankle. You didn't think he snapped it. And so then Buck is watching it, and that's why you get that response. But even then, I missed it because I was like looking at the ball. Or I don't know, making sure
looking
he caught
at the
it.
Ball.
Well, I don't know. I didn't.
They
know
went like
what was
right up
on
that leg, and that leg just it bent in ways it's not supposed to.
I didn't see it, so then I had to go onto Twitter. I had to type in Allen Hurns, and then I saw it several times.
Well,
after
there was
that.
The photograph in particular where he's laying on his stomach.
Oh yeah,
and his foot is pointing up.
Should not be going that
way.
And
you're just saying, okay, come on.
Just like you could. That was one you could really like. Feel it. Like, you could see it happening, and then it was just like a snap. And you're like, oh my God.
That might be the longest I've ever seen to get a player off the field.
Took him a little bit.
And completely understand, by the way.
Well, I know. They wanted to make sure they had it attached.
But you saw all the players basically from both teams.
Oh, they all went out there.
Coming over to him. And there was the other still photograph. and it's Jason Garrett, and he's holding his hand, and you could see that he's like clenching.
Oh my God,
you know, the
so
knuckles
gross.
Are turning white because he's holding onto his hand so tight.
Well, and we've seen a bunch of those in basketball recently, and then so there's a football one.
I can tell you that TV entities, TV companies actually discussed this before the season. We've discussed this at NESN.
Yeah.
About, you know, if you have a catastrophic injury, which I classify this as that.
I would.
The whole idea about whether or not, you know, how much you're going to show it. The fact that they did it in slow-mo surprises me. And quite honestly, there's a tape ops guy who's in trouble for that.
I bet they didn't realize
it. Well, see, the tape ops guy does.
Okay.
He's got to say, don't show this in slow-mo. He's got to say,
that was a quick
it's really bad.
That was also a quick turnaround, though. Like, that wasn't like your typical guys on the field, wait. Because that was, hey, just go to a break with the exact same play that just happened. Like, that was as quick of a replay as you were going to see.
And generally
speaking, Joe Buck wasn't prepared for it.
They try to slow down the process.
Yeah.
They say, listen, we don't care about how quickly you get to a replay. And I'll just tell you the way it is with NESN. We flat out won't show it until we know what's going on with the player. Until, you know, they're taking the player off the ice. They don't rush to a replay to show you, you know, oh, look at that. He broke his leg.
Good Lord.
See, I think they should show the replay.
Oh, no, they will show it. Oh,
okay.
But they won't rush to it. It's like, let's make sure they're tending to him now. They're getting him situated. We don't want to rush to the replay for everybody. And they'll show it. And by the way, they'll show it once.
Yeah,
and
I just think
and they'll generally show it real time and then get away.
Because I also think if that's what, in this case, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, if they're... You can only look at the cart for so long, because then if people are joining late, or maybe they were looking away, or more likely they were looking at their phone, or whatever they were doing,
right.
Like the story at that time in the game is whatever that horrific injury is.
But
so
it's
you don't
almost
need to
like
go
you
overboard.
Said, you could go on Twitter and see it just fine, thank you very much. I generally
well,
speaking,
I could, but
I think they figure, look, if people really want to see it, they'll see it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I definitely could. I don't know if everybody. Like, I don't think my dad.
I think most people could.
I think he'd be like, "What happened? Let me see the replay. Like, where is it?" And that's the story of the game at that time. So again, you don't need to see every single angle. You don't need to slow it down 100 times. You don't need to break the thing down for 10 minutes. But even give it a warning if you want to say, "Hey, what you're about to see is very graphic, and we're going to show it once, so gather around, kids," and then boom, you
maybe,
see
maybe
it.
Maybe leave out the gather around, well, kids part. But
say whatever you want. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you how to do your job, but I would just like to see it and then move on. But yeah, that was pretty gross.
So you had that happen Saturday night, and then Sunday night you had the Cody Parkey opportunity to
double doink,
give the Chicago Bears the victory, the
that's
last
right.
second victory.
That's right. Bears could be
move
moving
them
on.
Nope. They get to move on in the NFL playoffs.
Nope.
So Cody Parkey did the double doink job, which, I mean, let's be honest. We've already heard it. We played it on the open.
Oh, yeah. We heard Kevin Harlan radio call. We heard the
what
Al
you
Michaels.
Haven't heard.
Oh, what's that?
Is the more fun version of it, which is this one.
Pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló.
Oh.
No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. Los hijos se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! No, señor. No, señor. Chicago, Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Philadelphia got el partido.
Who was he rooting for?
Honestly, what was that?
I think this is going to be known as the No Senor game. I mean, as far as I'm
concerned,
that
a papa
that was
too.
No Senor, a papa,
and
then no senor. A Chicago song. Is that from the musical Chicago? What was that song?
No so, Senor.
For no our senor game.
For our older listeners, this will mean more. The name of that announcer is Ricky Ricardo, which you'd have to go back to the old Lucy show on TV.
Say.
The guy's name is Ricky Ricardo.
Ricardo.
He does the
Any
Yankees
relation?
Spanish language broadcast.
He does the Yankees?
No, senor!
Yeah.
But he seemed to be an Eagles fan there. So is he doing
seemed a little excited.
I was going to say, he's going to rub it in. Chicago, Chicago. Like,
hey, papa!
Papa!
No, senor! No, senor!
No, senor!
Chicago!
What's
Chicago.
That?
I think that's the color guy.
Oh, the other guy's
yeah.
getting in on the Chicago part? He didn't know what to do in that moment. Yeah, that the no senor, that is significantly better than double doink.
Now, obviously, I know what the word no means, but yeah. It sounds like something good happened. This isn't like, so they have to.
No, it's just
that's
saying, no, sir.
Chicago, Chicago.
That I don't understand. That makes no sense. If you're rooting for Philly, you just beat Chicago. I don't know if you would start singing Chicago.
Well, he just had an urge, you know? With,
like, Philly, you're moving on to play New Orleans. At that point, I don't know, maybe just rubbing it in? Maybe just a bad sport? Maybe that's
no, senor!
That's, I mean, just more of that, please. No, no, senor.
I had a feeling people would like to hear that one, that version.
Now, did he say the ball got tipped in there? I didn't catch
that. It's hard to tell.
I don't think that he did.
I don't think anybody knew what that
was. He did, watch. Actually, if you listen closely.
Oh, yeah, is that right?
Slap. Limited pie.
That's what that means.
Yep, tipped the line, he said. Oh, that's incredible.
He almost sounds like he said, no, it's he blocked it. Listen.
Yeah, well, at the end there, yeah, maybe. I got to dust off my Spanish skills, but I think he may have.
I took Italian, so I'm out.
Yeah, you can't help us. No thanks.
Ricky Ricardo.
Ricky Ricardo, great call.
Doing
so is the he, call of the what game. Outlet is that from? Because is he just going to be doing all the Eagles games, or are we going to get him every round?
This was a national Spanish
broadcast. Okay. So he might be doing, he could be into the Patriots game, potentially.
Maybe it was Sergio Dipp singing Chicago.
Could have been Sergio Dipp. No, senor.
Probably not.
I don't think it was Sergio.
Chicago, Chicago.
I need that explained to me. That part makes no sense. I don't care what language it's in.
It doesn't make sense at all.
You start singing, like in a happy way, you sing the name of the city, of the team that you just defeated.
Their heart ripped out.
Maybe he was confused.
No, but you would say like Philly, Philly or something. Or you would even say like on to New Orleans, like Big Easy. You could do something like that. I don't get it. Jambalaya.
I don't think you have to get it to just...
No, all right, but hey, good call.
Let it wash over you.
Great call.
Good job, Ricky.
Love that call.
No, senor.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Philly game.
Jerome's in Scituate. Hey, Jerome, how you doing?
Hey, Dale Rich, how are you?
Good, how are you?
What's going on?
I'm doing good. Listen, I think this is going to be a life-changing call. and, Dale, you know what? I won't be able to talk to Rich. He's still wet behind the ears, but... I know you know Nelly real well.
So I do.
You probably know this. I've met Nelly a few times. But do you know what team Doc started out with? You know Doc and Nelly's, right?
Yep.
Do you know what team he started out with, Doc?
What are we doing here?
I don't know what team Lenkaitis started with.
Well, let me tell you. Now this gives me the right to say San Diego Chargers.
Well, there you go.
San Diego. Chargers. San Diego.
Okay, listen, I'm not too enlightening yet. Also, Lance Allworth got his name Bambi.
Oh, no, Jerome. It's a new year. It's a bold new year, Jerome. We usually like your shenanigans, but you got to kind of cut to it. Jason Rossi has a real quick trigger this year. 2019. Quick trigger.
Yeah, 1 point. That's
maybe
all
not quick enough.
All right, let's get Jose in here real quickly because he's going to help us out.
Jose, what'd they say?
Hey, Jose.
Please.
Hey, the guy, when he got so excited, I think he's a Philadelphia fan. That's one of the teams that I got.
Yeah.
And when he hit the post, he said nobody blocked him. That's what he's saying. He hit the post. That's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay, hit the post. Now, can you explain to me why the other gentleman started singing Chicago?
He was down to the other team. That's what? The way they're doing it.
He was taunting them.
Oh, taunting. Oh, I got it. Oh, nice. I like that.
See,
I like
keeps
taunting.
All on board.
All right, give him the business.
All right.
Rub it in a little bit. Kind of thumb your nose at him.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you, Jose.
Thanks, Jose.
Great call, Jose.
No, senor. Chicago, Chicago.
Oh, I like that. Rub it in.
As soon as
rub
you
it
said
in.
He's rubbing it in,
I like
Rich
that.
Is all in.
That's right. There's no such thing as a sore winner, just a winner. Good stuff.
What else you got is coming up next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, before we get out of here and make way for OMF, they're out in the other room preparing, and Bill Belichick will be on with them, I believe, just after 3 today, 3:05, somewhere in that ballpark. But a couple of things that we didn't get to throughout the course of the day.
What else you got?
Oh, I'll start with this one.
I can honestly say I've been at this radio station since the day we opened the doors, okay? And in the years between then and now, the single biggest story I think that we ever covered and it went on for weeks. As much as Deflategate, even around here. Happened 25 years ago today. 25 years ago today, one simple bit of audio lived forever.
Nancy, that was incredible.
Nancy Kerrigan got a baton across the knee. I think they were in Detroit at the time.
Yeah.
The national championships, preparing for the Olympics, which were going to take place in Lillehammer.
Oh, my God. And that was incredible. I can't imagine with sports radio, though.
Sports talk radio went, because it was like the biggest soap opera in the world.
That's insane.
And as the plot was uncovered and these morons, Shane Stant and...
Oh, these Galooly.
Tanya Harding and
guys,
Jeff Galooly.
What a crew. Did you see I, Tanya, the movie?
I did, yeah.
It's pretty good. I mean, they make Tanya Harding out
to make
be
her
pretty sympathetic.
A lot more sympathetic than she is for me, but...
But it was still pretty good.
But 20...
And then she started making the rounds. She was, like, doing all the award shows. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, that's. I think she may have had something to do
with
it.
Well, that happened 25 years ago today.
Crazy.
What else you got?
Well, I'll tell you what else I got. So, Robert Williams is, of course, known as the Time Lord here. The Celtics
rookie.
Well,
he is by you.
No, I am not alone.
I know.
I am certainly not alone. And so, Time Lord, of course, early in the year, missed, like, a flight, or he missed a practice, he missed the opening press conference, all this stuff. Like, he was sleeping in, he was bad with that. Well, I think it's safe to say he's really doubling down on it. He was asked about the biggest difference between college and the pros over the weekend, and this was his answer.
This may sound funny, but, like, I literally don't know the days of the week. Like, I don't know. Like, I promise. Like, I can't tell you what today is. Like, I forget the days of the week. And with the traveling, like, mix up the hotel room numbers from the previous. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. It's worth it.
Time Lord knows no days.
Time Lord is a mess.
There are no days when you're the Time Lord. It does not matter. Days, weeks,
time
hours,
Lord
minutes.
And Charlie
it doesn't
McAvoy
exist.
Need to just hang
They're
for a
buddies.
While, don't they?
They could probably
they'll be
not
late
be on
getting
time
there,
stuff.
But
yeah.
You know they just need to hang.
I love this guy though. He's all in on Time Lord.
We got to get out of here. OMF is coming up next. Bill Belichick at about 3:05. We'll see you guys tomorrow. But first, we have to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.